Kum Len and a Black Tumura, it's Shivos of Tammuz. We are on Daf Kuf Chaf Hey Amr Aleph. Okay, we're still learning the laws of Mukta, and we basically said if somebody broke on Shabbos, we had a Machlekes, is it good enough if you can still do some form of work with it? So it's still called a Kli, even though it cannot do its original, its original purpose. And then we had the other opinion that says no, that if it's not doing the original purpose, Rabbi Yehuda says, then it's considered no longer considered a kavi. And he's talking about a broken Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Baram Duri Shmuel. Baram Duri said the name of Shmuel, Kroimi Shamachtele. So you have a mat, and then you have little pieces stringing out from the, from the Machtele, a piece that fell off. Mutter le Tautlam b'Shabbos. You can still move them on Shabbos. They still have a purpose. My timer, it's still considered a keli. Why is it? Amar Rava, Baram Duri Asberli. Baram Duri explains to me why. Machtele's Gufa, a mat. What purpose does a mat serve? L'may chazia. What purpose is it? Does a mat serve? L'chesuye be'afara, to cover the dirt with it, or cover a dung or excrement over there, and you don't want the dust to fly up. That's what a big mat is for. Nu and haninami chazdin l'chesuye b'utanayfus. So these small little strips that fell off this mat, you can still use it to cover excrement. So it still serves its original purpose. Not only a purpose, but its original purpose. Amar Abzeid says Abzeid Amarav Shirei Proizmi, the leftovers of a talis is also the taltlum b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to move them on Shabbos. They become mukta. Pieces or shreds that fall off become mukta. Why? Amar Abayi says Abayi. We're talking about matlonis, a talis she'ein behen gimel al gimel. Doesn't have three fingers, for we made it different, the rich person, but a poor person, instead of a poor person, the minimum size of material is three fingers by three fingers. Anything less than that has no value whatsoever. The leichazian is not suitable, leila aniyim, the leila shirim. Not suitable to anybody, and therefore it's like mukta. Argument in the Rishonim, whether we're talking about only specific kind of materials, and if it's small, it's worthless, or any material, if it's so small, it has no use. It's sort of muktzah, unless you had it in mind before Shabbos. Otherwise, it's muktzah because you didn't think you'll have any use for it. Tanya Rabban, we learned. So the Mishnah, we're talking about broken kelim. What about shivrei tanur yoshen? Broken parts of an old oven. So you used it already, once you heat it up with it, and therefore it's reinforced the walls, and it's suitable to be an oven. But now they're broken parts. Harei hein kechol ha-kelim. They have the same rule like any other vessel. Hanitolin b'chotzer, that you can move around in your courtyard. What exactly that means, Gemara about to explain. Divrei Rameya, so it's not muktzah. Rabbi Yehuda says, broken parts of an oven, an old oven, ain't nitolin. You're not allowed to move them around. We'll soon see what they're arguing about. Hey, Yid Rabbi Yehisi, Mishra Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. Rabbi Yehisi said in the name of Lezer ben Yaakov, it depends. Al shivrei tana yoshen, if it's a broken part of an old oven, shenitlin b'Shabbos. They can be taken on Shabbos. But v'al kisuya, when it comes to the cover of the oven, she'ein oitzadit b'siyad, you don't even need a handle. Even without a handle, you can move it around. The question is whether some say the lid of an oven can only be used if it has a handle, so it's easy to pick it up and put it down. Otherwise, it's very hot and you can't really move it around. And he says, no, even without a handle, you can move it around. But bottom line is testifying that broken parts of an oven can be moved on Shabbos like Rabbi Meir, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, and the Gemara will explain that soon. What's going on here? What are they arguing about? Says the Gemara, we'll have a few different ways of understanding it. Says the Gemara, b'maykemifkli, what's going on here? What's the machlekes? Amar Abayi, Abayi has his version. Abayi says, ba'oisin me'ein melacha, ve'ein oisin me'ein melachtan kemifkli. They're arguing if you can still do something with it, it can still perform a service, but not the original service. Not the original work. The question is, does that make it retain the status of a keli, so you're allowed to move on a Shabbos for a permitted purpose, or not? If Rabbi Yehuda l'taimei, Rabbi Yehuda says if it cannot be used for its original purpose, it's no longer a keli, so it's muktzah, and that's why he says over here you cannot move it around. And a man holds, as long as you can use it for a purpose, doesn't matter, so you cannot bake with it, but you can use it for something else. For example, to cover a barrel with it, it's good enough, it has a purpose, so it's still a keli. That's how Abayi learns it. Says the Gemara Maskar Rav Rav, asked Abayi his question, I don't understand. If that's the whole argument, why talk about an oven? we just had in our Mishnah, any vessel, if it breaks, if it fragments on Shabbos, if it still has a purpose but not its original, what's it in? Why specifically talk about an oven? It seems like there's another issue here at hand. Ihochi says Rabbi Tabai, if that's the case, why are they arguing about broken parts of an oven? Argue about broken parts of a keli, but almost generally. El Omar says Rabbi, they're arguing about an oven. B'shivrei dahai tanur k'miflegi. That they're talking about a specific kind of an oven that we learned in the Mishnah that we'll sort of see in a minute that was not yet completed yet, and it broke. And the question is, what is the status? What's the story? And so that's the specific case that they're arguing about. It. Now we learned, nosnoi al pi haboir oy al pi hadus. You have a hole in the ground, and their ovens were like a big round pot and have no bottom. And they put it close to the ground, and on the ground you have a log fire or something. Then they would put some cement on the bottom of that cylinder or that cone, and they would attach it, you know, to the ground to make sure that the heat of that fire is limited, that it only goes one way, vertical, up through this cone that's there, and it's very, very hot. And now this keli sort of reaches the ground. And there's no gaps in between, and therefore it's very, very hot. So what happens, there's a hole in the ground, there's a big crevice in the ground, and you placed this cylinder, this cone, in that, you wedged it into that hole over there, and in order to make sure that you sort of fill the gaps, you put a little stone where there's a gap between this cylinder and the wall. Okay, and it's to make sure the heat doesn't get its escape. So the question is, how do we view that? So if you placed it on a pit, the Nosan Sham Evan, and you put a stone there, Rabbi Hood, and that's the oven. So the oven hasn't been completed because you didn't, you know, put cement everywhere. You put this little stone there. Rabbi Hood says it depends. It depends. If you make a little log fire on the bottom of the pit, and it goes straight up through the pot, in other words, there's no gaps whatsoever, so it's very, very hot in this particular cone, then it's considered like it's a full oven. It's considered like you completed the job of this oven, because that's what the purpose is, to bake. And now you're able to bake. So therefore, It is mekabel tuma, but ve'im la. But if not, then toir. It is toir, because you haven't yet completely finished the oven yet. As we'll see in a minute. Chachamim say hoil v'husak. Chachamim say that once you heated it up, mekol mokum. I don't care, you know, if you have to use a rock to put it in its place, or I don't care whether you complete the oven or not. As long as you can bake in there. And you can heat things in there. It's you completed the job. It's an oven, and you're a chayv. Now, what's going on here? What's the machlekes? So he says like this: b'may k'mifke. What's going on here? They're arguing in the b'haikra on the following pasuk. It says in a pasuk that if something falls inside it, you know, a shedet or an avela falls inside an oven, you should break the oven. It says yutatz. You should tanur v'kirayim yutatz. The oven and the stove you should destroy. So in other words, the criteria of an oven is an oven that you can do netitza, that you can destroy. Is that Yehuda? So Yehuda holds mechusa netitza, that if you have to do netitza in order to get rid of the oven, then it's tamei. If you just pick up the oven, for example, over here, you put it high up in this pit, and you put a rock, and you jam the rock in there, just easy to remove the oven, so you don't even need the titzah, you don't have to break the oven to take it out, then it's toir. That means you didn't complete the oven, and it is toir. That's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbanu Sabri says in Pasuk further, in the end of the Pasuk, Tmeyim Yilechem, it's always tamei to you. Mikol Makom, regardless of whether it's wedged in, or you have to break it, you don't have to demolish it, if it's an oven and serves the purpose that you can bake food inside there, even though the fire is on the bottom outside, it doesn't matter. It's an oven. Says Yigmar Rabbanu Nami Yaksiv Yutatz. The puzzle of the word Yutatz sounds like the only time it's considered an oven is if you need to demolish it and destroy it. Ahuli Idr Gisa. that I use the word yitzit for kert, to say it the other way around. The sartan, I would have thought, kivin the chavir, I would have thought just the opposite. I would have thought that if it's attached to the ground, you Rabbi Yehuda saying, if it's attached, that's the only way that it becomes tameh, because it's a complete oven. I hold for kert. I would have thought if it's attached to the ground, it becomes mechubal karka. And we know that something attached to the ground is not a receptacle for tameh. It has to be portable. So I would have thought, the salgalim, I would have thought, kivin the chavir, you attach it to the ground, kigufadar, it's considered part of the ground, and it does not receive tumah. Kamashlan, therefore it says the pasuk yutas that not even though it requires destroying, it's still mekabel tumah. Says the Gemara, nu, what's Rabbi Yehuda going to do with this pasuk? Either not mekseiv tumah lechem, why are you limiting only to an oven that you have to break them and destroy? But it says in pasuk tumah emi lechem, it sounds like it's coming to expand the range of ovens that can become tumah. So he says, no, you know what you need to hear lechem? Ahiki Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul. That follows Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul. Don't Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul. Machleke is, the whole argument is behesek rishon, the first time you're heating up. You never heated up before. Now you're heating up for the first time. Because that's what's going to make it, transform it into an oven. So the question is, what's considered the completion of an oven? That's where Rabbi Yehuda argues that this is not suitable if it's not like very close to the fire, but much further up, it's not really suitable to call an oven. But if you already made it an oven, use it once properly, and then you put it there in that pit, and you put the logs. Once it has the status of an oven, even if Yehuda's made it, it's an oven. Even if you hang it suspended on the neck of a camel, it's not even on the ground, not even near the fire. I don't care where it is. Once it has the status of an oven, then surely it has a din of an oven. And the only way to get rid of the tumah is by destroying the oven into fragments. Not if you remove the whole oven from the ground. It's the only time Yehuda says if you remove the oven from its original place, it's not mekabel tumah, is if it's the first time you're heating up the oven. So we're trying to label it an oven, then it has to be in a certain criteria. It has to be close to the bottom of the pit, and it's totally wedged in so that there's no room, no gaps, nothing else. Not if it's raised high up. Omer Ula Ula says, "V'husik rishon rabbanon." The first time you heat up rabbanon will go even a step further. I feel the tolls of our gomel. They hold that to the pasuk we learn out tmei yilechem. Even to establish it as an oven, they hold that this is where they argue with the Rabbi Yehuda. They hold the first time you don't even need also to be wedged in the ground, and the heat should only go through there. It should be very, very intense. Even if it's suspended on the neck of a camel. Nevertheless, it has a status of an oven. Says the Gemara, Masko Ravashi Yehochiv. So that's how Rav explained. So Abaye wanted to explain the argument of Yehuda made is the same argument we have in our Mishnah, whether it has to have the original purpose or not. And Abaye said you don't need to. Rav came along and said, no, they're arguing specifically about an oven. They're arguing about an oven that this oven that you didn't complete, whether it broke. Whether it's a mekabel, whether it's considered a keli or it's not considered a keli, that's what it's arguing about. Says the Gemara, Rav Ashi says, no, I don't like your pshat at all. Maskel Rav Ashi yihochiv. So why are they arguing about the oven when it fragments? Talk about the oven itself. Is it considered a completed oven or not? The fact that you can pull it out of the ground, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not an oven because you don't have to destroy it, you can just pick it up. And according to Chachamim, it doesn't matter. So they should be arguing about an oven. Why are they arguing about the broken parts of an oven? Then argue about the oven itself. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is not called a keli. It's muktzah on Shabbos because it's not a keli. It's not an oven. Why is it an oven? Because it's raised above above the bottom of the pit too high, and therefore does not have the status of an oven. And it's muktzah. That's all. Why talk about shivre, broken parts? So Rav Ashi says, I like Abaye's pshat better. I'll go back to what Abaye said. Elo Rav Ashi. Sorry. Hashta tanugufa Rabbi Yehuda lahem manish. What about if Rabbi Yehuda holds that the oven itself is not a keli, you need to tell me about its broken pieces. Ella, Amar Rav Ashi, La'olam k'dam rekodeh, where Abaye said in the beginning, they're arguing about what work it has, if it has to be the original work or not. And that's the argument. So you ask the question, then why talk about an oven, talk about any vessel? When a vessel fragments, if the pieces can be done, used for the original purpose or not. What's the idea of an oven here? So he says that the reason why an oven is a little chiddush, because this oven can the parts of an oven can do a little bit like the original oven, but not completely. But Rameyer, Ledvar Rabbi Yehuda Kamar, Rameyer is arguing to Rabbi Yehuda. He said, listen, according to me, I don't care if it can do the original work or not, as long as it has a purpose, it's still considered a keli. I feel about Yisrael Me'ei Malach, any work, it can be cover of a barrel, it's good enough. Eloch, you say it has to be able to commit or perform a service similar to its original intent, at least by an oven, even the pieces of an oven you can bake on. Idly me, at least be made to me, the Kahai Gavna, in this kind of a case, Malachtahu. It's still considered the original work because you can still bake something on it or something. Like little tiles that you heat up the tiles itself and then they would take it out of the oven and put things on there to bake. So these pieces, we're not talking about little fragments. We're talking about bigger pieces, not a full oven, but bigger pieces. Navos, it doesn't have, you know, a fire, it's like a real oven that's a cone and you have a fire inside. But you have you heat up one of these tiles and then you put bread on it, you can bake. So it's sort of original, similar to its original intent. So Rabbi Yehuda should also believe it's still a keli. And why Taka doesn't he? But Rabbi Yehuda says, lay dummy. Hossam in a proper oven has seika mibifrim. The firewood is inside the oven, that's why it's so hot. On this tile, you have to heat up the tile from the outside, and then once you heat it up, you put bread in it. That's one difference. Another difference is Hossam over there by an oven, the walls are vertical. And the way they used to actually put the bread in the wall, they used to put it vertically on, you know, we learned before, they used to attach it to the walls, and they stand. And they don't lie horizontal. You know, like this tile, hochala moment, but the tile is lying flat in the ground. And that's how you make the bread. So the way you perform is different, and the way it performs is different. So that's where the machlekes is. Says him further, hey, in the Brice, we learned before Rabbi Yisrael testified, Mishra Blazman Yaakov, al shivrei tana, when it comes to broken parts of an oven, yosh, an old one, shenit tolim b'shabbos, you can move them b'shabbos, like Rameir said. And he also went a step further of al kisuyev, you should know, when it comes to the cover, the lid, I don't follow those opinions that say that a lid does not have the status of a lid unless it has a handle. She'ein tzarich b'siyad, it doesn't even require a handle. So which opinion do we follow today that we move around kisi the tanur, the lids of an oven, the masa machsayif from the city of Mechasid, ain't land based achizah, there's no handler. Come on, get a Lezer ben Yaakov. Like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. And we learned already that Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, mishnase kavanoki, whatever he says doesn't say much, whatever he says, he's always 100% accurate. Next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, we're still talking about the laws of muktzah, and we had a concept before called a basis. If you have a table and you put something muktzah on the table, the entire table becomes muktzah because it becomes the base for this muktzah. Unless you have a davar asr and a davar hamutr, the table is the base for something forbidden like the leichter, and then something permitted like you have your challah there, something chashuv, then that's good enough. So, then it's all right. So the Mishnah here says, ha'evin should be kiru. They used to take a pumpkin and hollow it, and they would use it. It's very light, and they would use it to draw water from a well. The problem is, because it's very light, it would float on top. How would you be able to get to the water? You know, it should lower itself in the well. You have to immerse it. So they place some kind of a heavy stone, a small heavy stone inside this pumpkin, this hollowed-out pumpkin, and then it wouldn't float anymore. It would sort of sink. And the question is, right now, all you have is a pumpkin, an empty pumpkin, an empty shell, with a stone in it. Does that become a basis l'davar asa, which means on a Shabbos you cannot use this particular pumpkin? So he says here, Evan should be kirua, that if you have a stone inside this pumpkin, the hollow pumpkin, so it depends. Imam Malimba, if you take this pumpkin and you immerse it in the well and you draw out water, the any of the fellas, the stone does not get dislodged, nor is the stone is sort of like has some kind of permanency there, the Malimba. Then you can use it because the stone becomes part of this pumpkin, it's all right. But being allowed, but if not, but the stone falls out, then basically the stone has nothing to do with the pumpkin, so the pumpkin now becomes a basis to a davar asa, to the stone. And then it says further, Zemaida, if you have a branch of, you know, a vine, shehi kshura, and if it's tied betafiach, let's say that you have a bucket, and and you have tied, as a handle, you tied a vine to this bucket. And the question is it muktzah or not? So we say there, if it's tied to the bucket, memalim ba b'shabbos, you're allowed to fill in a Shabbos. Why? Because we're going to treat this vine as if it's the handle of the keli. It becomes part of the keli. We don't say the keli is now bosses of davar asa. Then the third thing is, pakak achalayin, what happens? You want to fill a window like with shutters. The question is, can you do that on Shabbos? Close the window with shutters. Rabbi Lezer says, It depends. If before Shabbos, you need two conditions to meet, two conditions to say, well, the problem is, are you adding to a building? We're going to learn later that if you have a cover, an oil, and on Shabbos, you know, before Shabbos, you had a partial cover, then you can always add, like by sukkah we learn, you know, if you have a part, you know, if you have a little cover there, if you want to be able to cover it on Shabbos if it rains, you have to have a little bit extended, at least a tefach, and then you can stretch it out on Shabbos. That's by an oil. But when it comes to a binyan, you're not allowed to add. Question is, are you allowed to add to a binyan? Do we view this shutter as if you're adding to the actual building, to the edifice? Rabbi Eliezer says the only way we can say that it's not considered adding to the building is you have to meet the following two conditions. Bizman shehu kosher, the shutter, even when it's not in the window, is still tied to the building, and vitolis, not touching the ground. So that, therefore, because it's suspended from the ground, that means it's attached to the building, it's part of the building. If the rope is very long and it's basically sitting on the ground, it's not attached to the building at all, and therefore you put it on Shabbos, it looks like you are adding to the building. Vimla, but if not, ain't poiking boy. However, Racham say, ben kach or ben kach poiking boy. Whether it's this way or that way, now we're not sure what it means, whether this way or that way. Does it mean whether it's dragging on the floor, whether it's suspended, or does it mean whether it's even tied? Maybe you don't even have to tie it in the hold, you're allowed to add. And we'll see the more later, the whole discussion. Says about it further, Tanhas, we learned, Eved Shavi Achav is if you have a stone sitting on top of a barrel. Now the problem is, you cannot tilt the barrel where it is right now and let the stone fall off, because there's a bunch of other barrels, then you're scared it might break, make a crack in some of the other barrels. So you want to lift the barrel outside of your wine cellar and take it outside, and then there, tilt it and get rid of the stone. Question is, are you allowed to lift the barrel because there's a stone on top? Does the barrel become a basis l'davar aser? Because on top of the barrel, all you have is that stone. So, mata outside vina fellas, you're allowed to take it outside and let it fall down. Now, why isn't a tree like a basis? You know why we don't treat like a basis? In order to be a basis, you have to deliberately leave something mukhs. You bring a leichter to the table, you deliberately set it on the table, so therefore the table becomes a basis to the leichter, unless you put something else there. But if you forgot something on the table, and you forgot on your bed your wallet or something, your bed does not become a basis to the wallet, because it wasn't done that deliberately. Same thing here. Lo yishanu shekhech, you forgot. Avol b'maniach, if you placed the rock on the barrel deliberately, nasa basis l'davar aser. The barrel then becomes a basis for davar aser, and you're not permitted to move the barrel about. Rabba. Comes along Rabbi Yosef, and that's Rabba in the name of Rabbi Ami in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Comes along Rabbi Yosef in the name of Rabbi Asi in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Loishanu, on the contrary, just opposite. Loishanu, when do we say Elo b'shecheyach? You forgot. Avol b'maniach. But if you deliberately put it on the table, so you, Rabbah, say that it becomes a bust of us. I say just the opposite. If you deliberately put it on the table, nasa kisul achavis, it becomes a keli. The rock becomes a keli. It becomes like an addition to the cover, and therefore you can pick it up, you know, with no issues whatsoever. No issues whatsoever. Okay, says the Gemara. In other words, according to Rabbi Yosef, you don't have to pick up the barrel and do this whole chachma. You can pick up the rock. If you deliberately set the rock on top of the barrel before Shabbos, it becomes like part of the cover. So it's not mux at all. It's a keli. So on Shabbos, I just go ahead, pick up the rock and put it aside. Amar Abba says, Rabbi, Moisvinen Ashmaitin, I can ask a question of my own opinion. I said only if you forgot, but if you put it there deliberately, it's a bust of it. Also, you can ask for my own Mishnah here in the case of the pumpkin. Eventually, if you had a pumpkin, a hollowed out pumpkin, and you had a stone in there, if you fill it up with water, provided the stone doesn't fall off, you can use it. If the stone doesn't fall out, you can use it. But on the contrary, the stone doesn't fall out, and you put it there deliberately, the entire pumpkin becomes a bus as a davar aser. Why are you allowed to move the pumpkin? Isn't that a problem with me? But Emes is not a question. You know why? Hossam over there, kivan the hotka. Since you put you wedged the stone into that pumpkin, and we said in the Mishnah it doesn't fall out. In other words, it's like permanently there. Then shavya daifin. It's no longer like two things here, and the pumpkin is a basis to something extraneous to davar aser. Here the stone becomes part of the pumpkin, and that's why you're permitted to do it. Nothing to do with basis. Omer Rabbi Yehuda said, "You being honest, I'll also be honest." Umaysvin and Ashmaitin. Also from the Mishnah, you can ask a question of my view. My view is that if you put it there deliberately, it becomes a keli in its own right. It says in the Mishnah, Imla, but if the stone falls out, Ein memalim bo, you cannot fill it. If you put the stone deliberately, according to me, if you put it there deliberately, the stone should become, you know, a keli in its own right. So how come if it's not permanent, we say that it becomes muktzeh? What's the difference? It's not a problem at all. Why? Hossam there, keeping the loy hotke, in the case of the stone, if you don't wedge it in, it's very loose in there. Betule butler, it's no longer a keli. You've basically proven to us that you don't really need the stone. Because if you really wanted the stone to have a purpose, you would have tied it down to the pumpkin, because it'll just fall right out. By not doing that, you've showed us you have no interest in making it a keli, so therefore it's not a keli. Says you want a mic and mifgi. So what's the machlekes between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef? Mar Samar, one of them holds Be'in and Maisa. That Rabbi holds that you have to do a pu'ulam. That what? Rabbi holds that you have to do a Maisa in order that, Rabbi name Rabami, in order that you should, if you want that this stone should become part of the pumpkin, you have to do a Maisa. And since you didn't do a Maisa, it'll become part of the pumpkin. And Marsava, and other one holds, Loi Be'in and Maisa. The other one holds that you don't need a Maisa. You don't need a Maisa. In other words, we're talking about the case of the stone on top of the barrel. All you did was you put the stone in the barrel. Did you do anything, any activity to make that stone like a lid? No. So Rabbi says the stone is not a lid. The stone is a davar aser. And if you put it there deliberately before Shabbos, that stone is muktzeh still, and the barrel is a basa davar aser. And the only way to take it out is by carrying out the entire barrel and then, you know, tilting it on the side. Rabbi Yosef says, as long as you thought, you don't even have to do a maisa, as long as you thought that... Or we'll see a very small maisa, just taking the stone, lifting it, and putting it on the barrel. That's already enough of a maisa to say that I want it to be a lid in its own right. And according to Rabbah, that's not enough. If you want it to be a lid, you have to wedge it into the lid. You have to do something much more significant. I think Moritz tells us a story where they, you see, they're having the same argument. You need a maisa, but do you need a big maisa, a major maisa, or even something very minor and significant? The Chiyosah Rabdimi came along. In the name of Rabbi Chanina, he said that what Rabbi Chanina, Pamachas once Holach Rebbe Lamokamecha, Rebbe went somewhere, and Motza Nidvash Lavon, he found a pile of stones there, Vamal Tamidav, he said, he felt like a wall full of stones. So he said to his Tamidim, he said, I want you to prepare for Shabbos. And you know, these stones are piled up, they're ready for construction. So he said to his Tamidim, Tzu, go out, Vechishu, I want you to think. All you have to do is think that tomorrow we're going to use this as a seat, and even though currently it's just piled up there as a wall, you know, to be used for building a house, doesn't matter. Thinking is enough. So if Chanina holds, you don't have to do anything. As long as before Shabbos you think in your mind that I'm going to use this, it's not muktzeh anymore, it's not removed from your mind. Rebbe didn't require us to do anything physically on Friday to show that we want to use it as a chair. That's Rebbe Chanina's view. Rabbi Yechon, however, says, no, you have to do a maisa. And Rabbi Yechon says, "Hatzricha Rebbe l'maisa." And Rabbi Yechon says, "No, that was insufficient." Rabbi Yechon argued, "Chanina, he says that if you want to take something which really has no purpose, and you want to say on Shabbos I'm going to use it, it's not enough just to say I'm going to use it. You have to physically do something to demonstrate you can use it on Shabbos." Now, there's an argument between Rabbi Yechon's two students: how great of a maisa they have to do. What exactly did Rebbe say to them that they should do if you need a maisa? Rabbi Ami says to uvelandum. Rabbi Ami says you have to do something major. You have to go ahead and reorganize the stones in a way that shows us you want to use it as a seat. So Rabbi Ami holds you have to do a major maisa, which is why he holds if you put if you just place a stone on top of the barrel, it's still muktzeh because you haven't done a major maisa. You just put a stone there. And Abasi says what Rebbe said was tzu v'shivshvim. All you have to do is, you know, take a shmata and remove the dirt or the cement on top, which takes a second, which is not a big job compared to picking up the bricks and realigning them and reorganizing them. So Abasi holds a minor maisa is considered a maisa. Taking the stone and placing it on top of the barrel is a maisa, and that's sufficient. That's what he said to him. Itma, we learned, Rabbi Yitzchak Mishol says, in fact, that story, you got it all wrong. It wasn't a pile of bricks that the question was whether it's going to be a seat or it's not going to be a seat. It was Shavar Shal Kairazav. It was a whole pile of beams. And that's what it was over there. And he wanted to know whether he can use it for Shabbos or not. And Rabbi Yitzchak Mishol, I mean, no, it was Goshe Shal Svinahav.
It was in front of a ship to have this big, as she says, a big pole that they used to use to determine whether the water was shallow or not. So this was always in front of the ship, and if it hit the ground, if it hit the bottom of the sea, that means it was too shallow, and they would turn the boat around. They don't want to get wedged into the dirt there, and they can't, it'll be stuck. So, and that's what he said, let's sit on those things. Says the Gemara, Mandam Agushay is the one who says that even though it was a pole, which people are very makbid on, still we say that he can use it on Shabbos. It's not mukta, you know, like you might say, mukta machasar and kiss, because generally you wouldn't use it for anything else. Kosh Kesavar, surely a pile of beans, which is less significant. You can have other uses for it in the meantime. Mandam Asvar, that was a pile of beans, Avagushay, but when it comes to this particular pole that's in front of the ship, is kapidale. People are going to be very, very makpid. They're not going to use it for any other purpose because you don't want it to get, you know, out of shape. And it's like muktzeh mach masachsar and kiss, and therefore you couldn't use it on Shabbos. And everyone would agree, and we learned before that Rav Shimon doesn't hold a muktzeh, but in this case he would agree, muktzeh mach masachsar and kiss. Okay, so a different version as to what actually happened. That explains the case of the wine. It says in the Mishnah further, it's made a branch or like a vine. She should... It has to be attached. If it's attached to this jug, kshura in, only if it's attached, then we're allowed to use the vine as the handle, so it's part of the keli. But loy kshura, if it wasn't attached, loy, then you're not allowed to go to be muktza, the vine. Lema masnisin the loy kreshbag. It would appear that our Mishnah does not follow the view of Rav Shimon Gamliel. What's the story? The Tanya we learned in the Braise. If you have a bunch of branches from a palm tree that became, you know, very tough, you set it aside for firewood. And then you decide, you know what, I'm going to use it as a chair. So according to Tanakama, Tzorich Likshar, you have to do something to show that you want to use it as a chair. So before Shabbos, you have to tie them up. And Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said, "Ain't tzarich liksha. It's enough that you thought that you're going to use this as a chair. That's no longer muktzah." So we see that according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, you don't have to do anything. Yet in our Mishnah, it says when it comes to this vine, this branch, if you want to use it as a handle for the keli, you must make sure that it's tied to the keli before Shabbos. But if you didn't, you just thought about it, you know, I'm going to use it tomorrow to tie it around this particular jug, it doesn't work. So our Mishnah cannot be like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Omer Rav Sheish is lav davka. Full time Rav Shimon ben Gamliel could be the author of our Mishnah. Hochamai skinen b'mechuberes ba'avir. The vine is still attached to the rest of the grape bush, to all the other vines. So the Gemara, that's why you have to physically attach it to the jug before Shabbos. Says the Gemara, if it's still attached to all the other vines, then it's a mechuber. And it's muktzah anyway. How can you use it on Shabbos? How can you use something which is attached? You're not allowed to use something which is attached to the ground. It says the Gemara lemata megimel. We learned, and we will learn the Gemara Erevin, that if it's below three tefachim, it's considered like part of the ground. And if the spring, let's say, is not very deep, you don't need a very long string. So you have a vine that's two tefachim long, and that's long enough to attach to the jug. So then, if it's attached to the vine, then you have to before Shabbos. To make sure that otherwise it's a mechuba, you can't do that. But once you attach it Friday, you can use it, because otherwise you would say it's definitely muktzah because it's still growing. But if you attach it, you could. Why can you use it? It's mechuba. If it's below three tefachim, we say it's considered like part of the ground, and not considered like something mechuba lit karka. It is the karka itself. And like, for example, Tamar talks about the roots that grow from a tree. If the roots are very high, higher than three tefachim, you cannot sit in them. But if they're below three tefachim, you can sit on the roots, because it's as if you're sitting on the ground itself. No different. Rav Ashi says, no, I feel tamed lusha. You don't have to tell me we're talking about if it's attached. I can tell you something about detached, and yet you have to, before Shabbos, tie it down. And even Shimon ben Gamliel will agree. Why would Rav Shimon ben Gamliel agree? So Gemara says, because he said, l'chayda, by those hard branches, that you don't have to tie them before Shabbos. So why, when it comes to this jug, you have to tie before Shabbos? Gzeida shema yiktim. If you don't tie it before Shabbos, what happens? Come Shabbos, you realize that this vine is way too long, and you don't have a grip on it, you know, and it feels too loose. So you might cut the vine down, and that you're not allowed to do, because it's muktzah. And not only that, why can't you cut it down? Because it's more like makab mat patish. So you're completing the keli that you want to use. But when it comes to those palm branches, you're not going to do anything. Therefore, thinking about it before Shabbos is enough. Gzeida shemi yiktim, I cut it down. filling the window, and remember said, according to Rabbi Elazar and Mishnah, there are two criteria. It has to be attached to the building, and it has to be suspended in the air in order to be able to close it up on Shabbat, your shutter, so that it shouldn't look like you're adding to the binyan. Chachamim don't require that. When it comes to oil, she'ein oisin oil, everyone agrees it comes to a cover, a roof. You're not allowed to make an oil, even a temporary one, on Yom Tov. You're not mentioning the Shabbos. When is there an argument? Only lohaisif. Are you allowed to add to an oil or not? When it comes to a partition, you're allowed to make a partition on Shabbos. But what we're talking about over here, and we'll have more Erevin, you're allowed to make a wall for tznius and so on. But over here, we're talking about is that you have a building, and you're adding to the building. And you, it looks like, you know, like an oil. You're adding to the building. Can you or can't you? You're not allowed to add. You're allowed to add on Shabbos. So for example, if you have a partial roof cover, you're allowed to extend it. You can as well. And because they say it's no different than a shutter. Shutter, you're not really adding to the building. You're just extending it, so it's you're allowed to. Same thing here. Once you have a partial cover, you can just extend it further. In the Mishnah says, Chachamim say, ben kach or ben kach peikin. Weather's like this, weather's like that. You can put the shutter into the window. We're not sure what the weather is. What do you mean, ben kach or ben kach? Are they dismissing both criteria, only one criteria? So the Gemara says, my ben kach or ben kach, Omer of Abba, Omer of Kana. So Abba's an Eno Kana, Bein kosher. Forget about suspended in the air. Who cares? Whether it's tied to the building, and bein she'enu kosher, whether it's not tied to the building, it doesn't matter. But who shemesukan? As long as you prepared it before Shabbos, the shutter you're allowed. All you do, you're not adding to the building. Once you have a building, you're just adding. It's not really considered adding to the oil. It's not yisur on Shabbos. So therefore, the way he learns is, Rabbi Abba learns, you don't need at all to have it even tied to the building. Amar Rav Yehuda says that v'leima mat, how do you know it means you don't need a tie? Maybe ben kach or ben kach means ben toli, whether it's suspended in the air, or ben she'ein toli, when it's not suspended. Who's your kasha? Maybe the rabbanon agree that it has to be tied to the building, so therefore it doesn't look like you're making anything new on Shabbos, but they're just saying ben kach, whether it's suspended in the air, whether it's dragging on the floor, that we don't care, as long as it's tied. How do you know that the racham is so lenient you don't even have to tie it to the building? And then we'll go on to a discussion, which we'll learn tomorrow, about whether it has to be tied to the building or not. Okay, everyone should have an easy tonus.